Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of September, recording at 9:06 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Well, we had sort of mixed markets in Asia. I mean, the main feature was the Hang Seng Index being down 1.36%. India moving closer to its high on both the Sensex and the Nifty. But the real action for stock markets has been in Europe and the US today. We had big gains and some big percentage gains. The UK FTSE index up 1.3%, for instance, as was the Swiss SMI index. And we had a solid performance on Wall Street, closing near the highs, not quite as good as Europe, but it still represented a new high for at least, this is a new high for the year, for at least the Dow, the S&P 500, and the S&P 100 indices. Now, I would expect that U.S. and European strength to spill over into the Asian markets tomorrow. The laggards in here have been the basically commodity related indices. Okay, government bonds, a little bit of profit taking here today and against the background of the strength, and government bonds have been very, very strong. And the dollar firm here today, albeit within its ranging pattern, quite narrow ranging pattern against the other reserve currencies. And precious metals quietly steady in here today, not much changed right now. Oil, after a bounce from those lows, having broken under the 60 level yesterday and then bounced late in the day, still hovering quietly here at 61.20 for the NYMEX crude. That's down 25 since today. Industrial metals mostly up. Nickel was the exception, down a little bit. But when I say mostly up, though, that's mostly quietly steady. But they were in the plus column here today. Okay, what's going on here? Well, the stock market evidence, with the exception of the commodity, some of the commodity related markets, I should say, because they're not all soft. I mean, Chile has been very strong. Mexico has been very strong. But others have had that sort of little rollover look beneath their former highs, which is a kind of sort of a worrying kind of pattern for anybody who's familiar with charts. But the balance of technical evidence still very much favors the bulls. The indices that have been leading on the upside are continuing to push higher. And those have been confirmed, those breakouts have been confirmed by the action that we're seeing on Wall Street. Now, remember the Wall Street leash effect. And that's for new subscribers. That's just like a dog walker with one of those retractable leashes. And what I've said for years and years and years is that given the psychological influence that the U.S. markets still have, this is something that will wane in time, particularly in terms of the influence in Asia. But it's still a pretty powerful influence, the world's biggest capitalization stock market and so on. You know the reasons for this. But the basic premise behind the leash effect is that if Wall Street is firm, let alone rising, or just steady, ranging, let alone rising, then that allows the leash to be let out, and the markets that are in form for various different reasons will race ahead. Conversely, if Wall Street is weakening, then that retractable leash will contract, and that will rein in those high-flying markets, which may well fall, most likely will fall, more than Wall Street. Just exactly what we saw, for instance, coming off the May highs. The U.S. market had underperformed on the way up. Other markets had run riot, not least India, one of my favorites. Then Wall Street started to falter. They all started to falter at the same time. India fell very sharply, as did all the markets that had good percentage gains. And now they're all firming here once again. And actually, those commodity markets, not all of them, but a number of those commodity markets, Australia would be a good example, hadn't come down very much during that overall correction. And that is Canadian market also, that didn't come down much during the correction, having had wonderful gains up through that May, up into that May period. So I guess with all the bearish talk that we've had regarding commodities, that it's not all that surprising that those indices have lagged. And some of that bearish talk has been justified, of course, by the sharp correction that we've had in oil. Well, now let's move on to the government bonds. While the oil price is soft, I maintain that these government bonds won't come off that much, and they might even push a bit higher still. But I think that we've seen overwhelmingly the best part of this rally that we're going to get. And I know people like Bill Gross are still saying buy more, that they're saying that they're going up, putting out reports that they're going up. I think with stock markets getting a good performance here once again, the soft landing script will lead to these commodity prices to be picking up before very long. And I certainly expect oil to be higher by a year end than it is now. But you might have noticed that there is this crescendo of forecasts talking about oil going much lower. To me, that's a powerful contrary indicator. Okay, so I much prefer the stock markets to the government bonds. The government bonds have, just look at the charts. If you're looking at price charts in the library, look at some of the weekly, monthly price charts, and you see all that overhanging overhead supply. If you look at the yield charts, you see those great big, still mostly developing base formations, whereas stock markets, for the most part, don't face that kind of flack. So if one has those treasuries, it might not be a bad idea to decide on an in-the-money trailing stop and just let that protect you against the next setback. I'll be interested in shorting the sector, but not yet. I'll want to see the sentiment towards commodity markets improving, and I suspect that's not that far away. Looking at precious metals, I should go on to the dollar first. I expect more ranging from the dollar overall. And there is that chorus of people saying that the dollar will eventually move lower. I'm among them. I really, to be objective here, I have to say that chorus calling for a weaker dollar is, of course, a contrary indicator, certainly at least in the short term. So don't be surprised if we just get more to-ing and fro-ing, ranging about here. And remember, the overall background is that no government wants a strong currency. And the moment their currency appreciates for a month or two, even if it's just a modest depreciation, as is usually the case, the bleating starts. And those countries and their respective central banks go to considerable lengths to start weakening the currency. Once again, that's the background we have, and that is a very bullish medium to longer term argument for gold and other precious metals. But you wouldn't know that today judging from a lot of the very bearish comments that are around. Everybody was talking about 800 to 1,000 when gold was up at 730, and now they're all talking about 500 to 450 because gold has been sort of languishing at this level, a little below 5. I beg your pardon, a little below 600. So it's currently 590, 170, and again that pendulum swing in sentiment from positive to balanced on the negative side is a contrary indicator. I think gold is good value in here. I rolled forward my gold long. The chart's iffy, sure. I know that, but I don't want to be completely out of the gold market, so I'll keep a small to moderate position for me. In futures, I'll absorb a ro I absorbed a rollover loss in here today in doing that, because I know that when gold starts to perform, first I want to be there, and also I know that I can leverage that position up very quickly and easily once again to take advantage of the next burst of strength. Okay, and I'm hoping silver doesn't run away from me, because I've had talked about buying more silver but had been cautious while this oil was still catching that capitulation selling. And it is important to say, and I think I probably said it yesterday, but important point to repeat, that yesterday's action in the oil market, when it broke down, I think it got down to about, oh, $59.5 on the NYMEX crude, and then bounced up quite sharply. Not sharply enough to produce a key day reversal, because it had a big down day the day before, but it looked different. It was the first time we had seen that kind of oomph on the upside, and with most of the gains held through the close for the oil market. And it has not given up much of that gain in here today. So that's the first time now in a number of weeks that oil has indicated anything other than capitulation selling in the market. So again, I'll stick with my script that I think we're probably quite close to an important bottom here at $60. And I'll repeat again, though, there is that chorus calling for the oil price to move much lower. Again, that's a contrary indicator in my view. And that's pretty much it. Remarkably steady performance by the industrial metals. How do they do it? Well, secular bull market is one good reason. And talk about chorus calling for lower levels in here. And I've got to say that since this is medium-term correction territory, still, that I wouldn't be at least bit surprised to see them fall back. But meanwhile, I just watch and marvel at the extent to which they have remained so very, very steady. Now, tomorrow, I have one of those frustrating, somewhat irritating days when I've got to do just about everything but the part of my job that I love, which is doing the researching and the writing and broadcasting and so on. So Owen will be producing almost all of the output tomorrow. But I will be back, hopefully in full flow, come Thursday. Meanwhile, all the very best.